we made it through eclipse season. Did anybody travel to the path of totality to watch the eclipse? I did not, but I had a few friends who did, and they said it was like the coolest thing they've ever seen. And it makes me, yeah, it makes me curious. The next totally visible eclipse might be, I think it's in Iceland, and then the one after that is in Egypt. And I'm like, I didn't make it to the one 4 hours away from my house, but the ninth house person in me is like, maybe going through, maybe if it requires long distance travel, I'll make it. Yes, Aries coming through with a show. Absolutely. But we did make it. Yeah, we made it through eclipse season. And now we're heading into the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. And I'm excited because this is this week. It's one of the like top transits of 2024. So it'll be an interesting week ahead with all of these energies swirling about. While we're waiting for a few more people to pop in, I just wanted to say, April, I usually do some kind of like new client special in April because it's spring. So for, natal chart readings with me, the full natal chart readings, I have two different options. They are 20% off for brand new clients, or if you're a client but you've never had a natal chart reading with me before, like you've done a tarot reading but you want to come in and do a natal chart reading, now is a good time. I'm running this special through the end of April, so all you have to do is put in the code SPRINGFLOWER and book one of the two natal chart readings on my site. And it'll be fun. We'll dive in. I've been doing a lot of new client readings lately, which has been really fun, especially to just look at people's charts. And special shout out to, you know who you are, I won't say your name because I don't know if you're comfortable with that on the podcast, but I literally had a new client, or not a new natal chart reading client. We did our reading like the day before the Aries eclipse, and they were literally born on an Aries eclipse. Like, isn't that spooky? Like, I think when you come to the natal chart reading for the first time, sometimes there's like weird things that start to line up. But happy Sunday, everybody. We have reached the end of eclipse season, and I actually pulled the star this morning, and I just felt like that is so, it feels on fleek. Just having the star energy with us this week. I've been thinking a lot about how eclipse season often brings up things that we are shedding, brings up things that are no longer aligned for our path, right? And, you know, this whole year, like, I swear, ever since, like, January 1st, 2024, I've been waiting for the moment where you feel like, oh, it's a new year. Like, I can put my new ideas into action right now. And it just like never came. And I've realized in the past like 3.5 months, I've tried to put some new things into the works, and it feels like it hasn't quite been like the moment. And in pulling the star this morning and reflecting on like, okay, we made it through eclipse season, I realized like eclipse season finally has cleared the path for some kind of energy of renewal. I don't know if anybody else has been feeling that way, but I literally feel like this week I'm gonna do some things that I've been meaning to do or thinking about doing for literally 4 months or even longer. Like, this week is a week where it finally feels right to act in accordance with something you may have been wanting to start. And I know Mercury's in retrograde, sure. But at the same time, I don't think Mercury retrograde necessarily makes for an inauspicious time to begin, especially if it's been something from the past that we've been thinking about doing for a while. You know, like if Mercury retrograde is pulling us back into the past and having us review all of these things, sometimes when we review, then it is in accordance with the energy to begin, right? And even if like there's not this material, I don't know, like this material thing that you're thinking about when it comes to the quote unquote new thing, maybe it's not, oh, I'm gonna finally start writing my book, or I'm gonna, you know, start my business. It might not be something as big as that. And at the same time, it might be internal, which is just as big. Like, maybe you're ready to renew your sense of self. You're ready to renew some of your mantras or some of your narratives that you have been holding about your capabilities. But overall, I feel like this week, being a star week, look for those moments when, you know, like the rain has fallen and we're finally clear, or we're finally have come to a point of clarity. And maybe that's what the star is really communicating in the energy of this week. I don't know if we usually use the word clarity to describe the star, but if you think about it, if the star comes after the tower, which I think the tower very much carries some eclipse-like energy, a lot of the times, because the tower rearranges our foundation or brings attention to perhaps where our foundation may not be aligned, then once we get to the star, there's so much clarity as to how to move forward. And yeah, it's like clear sky energy. Exactly, Katie. So I'm wondering, like, what have you come to more clarity on? Where have you arrived to more clarity post eclipse season? Is there any sense of renewal or even a greater sense of just like peace or even neutrality when it comes to something that was previously really emotionally loaded? That's another thing that eclipse season can bring. Those points of tension within us that feel very emotionally loaded. eclipse season kind of like brings those things to the to like almost a climax moment. And then this we have this big release, and it's that release that then leads us to clarity, which is really what the star, at least I think that's what the star energy is in the tarot. Also, you know, the star card makes me think of the, I don't know the exact, I don't know the exact like fact, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but there's something like after you cry, your brain releases, you know, I don't know if it's like serotonin or, you know, your brain releases some sort of like hormone that does bring clarity to your, to like your sense of what is happening. And I think that's a really good metaphor for eclipse season being like the eclipse is the good cry. Creative death work, you said it's oxytocin. Yeah, okay. So after you cry, your brain is, or your brain's releasing oxytocin, and it creates this sense of like relief and clarity, right? And that is kind of where we're at, I think, right now in the astrological wheel. Venzella, you said, I have more clarity on my feelings about my job and hope for a change this year, and setting and maintaining boundaries. Totally, totally. And I'm glad you said that because, like, that feels aligned with how I'm feeling too, in the sense of, like, I have clarity now about how to move forward. I have more clarity about like goals and how to go about those things. And at the same time, because there's more peace, we have more peace at mind. We're not rushing towards those things. We're not like feeling like, oh my God, if I don't do this right now, the opportunity is going to slip through my fingers. It's more like we've reached some sort of trust in a greater trust in divine timing. And I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I feel like I'm constantly, I'm like constantly, I'm either in a phase of like, I trust divine timing, or I, my ego has taken over and like, I feel like I have no trust. Or maybe not no trust, but like, you feel like you're really struggling with, like, is it the right time to do something? Is the universe on my side? Is can I have faith that like spirit is meeting me halfway? All of those things, like, I think sometimes it's natural for the human ego, which is obsessed with control, right? Like, it's natural for that part of us to question the validity of divine timing, right? Because there's something about, yeah, that part of us that wants to manipulate and control and make sure things are as sort of laid out and expected as possible. So when we do step into that greater peace and trust in divine alignment, which is very star-like. Usually we notice, oh, I don't have this intense urgency anymore. It feels like my project can just birth the way it wants to, right? Yeah. It feels like this project can just, like, I can just let the energy of this project be itself. And let it be the timing that it wants to be. Like, that's a sign that you're in the star energy. When you're not feeling this overly maddening sense of urgency, or, you know, even for me, a sense of shame that, like, oh my God, what if I'm not doing this fast enough? What if I'm not on the right time? What if I'm not on the right timeline? Right? Like, when you're truly in the star energy, you're like, all right, I got this. Like, this is my, I'm birthing this, and it's on its own time, and I just have to be, like, the conduit of the project's time instead of me trying to force the project onto my ego's timeline. Ellis, you said, I'm at the moment where I think the story needs to unfold before me, and I just need to rest before making decisions. Totally. I love that. I love that idea of more rest. You know, that feels like, I can't tell you how many people told me they felt exhausted from the eclipse energy, which is, I think, extremely normal. Like, there were literally a couple nights last week where I went to bed at like 8:30, and I was like, I have to go to sleep this early, even though I usually go to sleep pretty early. But it does exhaust us, and rest has that same, a similar effect as like the cry or the release. A lot of the times after we rest, we feel clarity. We come to clarity. That's kind of a interesting thought, like putting ourselves in the frequency of clarity. 'Cause that does kind of look like rest. You know, that does look like taking a leisurely walk or taking a salt bath or meditating. Like, when I think coming to clarity, I don't think running around like a chicken with your head cut off, searching through a million books with a magnifying glass, you know, scurrying around trying to find the answer, right? And Katie, you said, why do I get the feeling the project for you is the book example you gave? You got me. Yeah. I'm slowly but surely getting my book proposal done, which has been good. And that's birthing. And part of the reason I think I feel better about that is because eclipse season made me realize how much I was trying to control like everything. Like, you're like, when you try to control every single word and sentence and edit as you go, any writer knows that that's, you're almost like ruining your own project because you're not letting your project become what it needs to become, right? So I finally feel like I can kind of like let go of that frequency. I also feel the same way with my astrology school and my astrology classes and like, just kind of letting go a little bit more and feeling more ready to launch some of those now, where I couldn't quite click into that frequency earlier this year. Elizabeth, you said, it's so interesting you say this because I feel like for the first time, my creative projects feel at peace and you're not feeling the urgency and the shame. Yeah, totally. Lauren, you said, I think about the stars direct result of the tower, almost being thrown into the night sky after the tower crumbles beneath. Clarity is on its way, even if you can't see it. Absolutely. And I would say with this week's astrology, Saturday? Yes, Saturday is the, on the 20th, is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. You know, Uranus is the higher mind. Uranus is electricity and shifts. Uranus is the perspective that we've needed and that we've been waiting for. So the fact that the planet of expansion, Jupiter, is running into Uranus, the planet of the higher mind, I absolutely think even more clarity is coming through to us in this moment. And Katie, you said, I've been learning about how my process is one of yielding or unfolding, like we've been saying. I joined a writer's group and pulled cards for us, and it was all water. And it made me think about the creative projects. The creative process is one that is more gentle and watery and quiet versus this sexy, active, fiery thing. Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. Like, there was something, I wish I had the book in front of me, but, Sarah and I are going to do our creativity class again. This is a soft launch, secret soft launch. We're not actually going to launch it until like the first week of May. But last time we did it, we called it the Untethered Artist. And then this time we're doing it, we're calling it Unmasking Your Creativity, which I'm super excited about. And we've like evolved the course since the first time we did it. And we have like a elevated curriculum and it's really cool. But anyways, one of the books we have as our focus for our upcoming semester is called Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg, I think her name is. And it's a great, great book for writers because it really speaks to, I think all creatives actually, it really speaks to how much our need for control can stifle the creative process. And yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I'm feeling like the star this week, along with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, I think we're making peace a little bit with our inner control freak. You know, like we're like, okay, you can calm down. Like, you know, you don't need to be micromanaging every detail of my future trajectory. I can just let the creativity birth the way it wants to birth, right? And what's funny, another book that you all know I love is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And that's actually the book that inspired Sarah and I to do these creativity classes because, I mean, both of us have some criticism of the Artist's Way, but even so, it's a great book. And that's like Julia Cameron's whole point, is that our creative life force is the divine part of us. And she's kind of like, we owe it to God or whoever, we owe it to the universe to be creative because this is like the gift that we were given. So isn't that ironic that like our ego is trying to control the most divine, sacred part of us, right? So I do think there's part of the star that sort of, I don't know, just speaks to the ego isn't necessarily winning anymore, or like the ego doesn't have its claws locked in to the creative project. Now we can just let like our divinity shine through and let the project be what it wants to be. And that could have only happened after, you know, eclipse season has released some things. And now we kind of feel a little bit more calm, I think. I want to pull a support card for the star. If that's kind of our medicine of the week, guys, what do I say? If that's our medicine of the week, what's sort of our support card? This is from the Sacred Symbols Oracle deck, Marcella Kroll. And we got the Divinity card. See, like, we're reconnecting with our divinity in some way. I actually want to see what Marcella Kroll writes about this. So this is the Norse Viking rune that means love. And they write, "You are divine love incarnate. Whatever your question, know that love is the source, the question, and the answer. Drawing this card invites you to proceed with love over fear. No matter what your situation or relation, proceed only from a place of unconditional love and understanding. Meditate when you want to feel more love in its purest form and to connect to others in a more heart-centered way." And that's the thing, like, if you've read a good book or watched a movie that really inspired you or whatever, like, anything that any creative force that you can consume, you know, that's inspired you. The reason it's inspiring is because the creator of whatever that thing is was connected to their divinity and was channeling divine source, right? So that's why we can inspire each other. That's the feeling of inspiration. It's that, you know, maybe we wouldn't like word it like this typically, but if you ever feel inspired by someone or something or a piece of art or a book, it's because you're seeing their divinity and it's also reflecting back to you part of your divinity, right? So look for little moments like that this week too, with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction leading up to that on Saturday. And then on Friday, the sun will move into Taurus. You know, I can't help but think too, it's so funny. So most of you know I work in admin at an acupuncture clinic as my part-time job. And we have a lot of pregnant people, you know, coming in and out. Just, you know, we service a lot of pregnant people, right? So it's been fun because sometimes with like the moms, you know, we get to talking and, you know, they find out I'm an astrologer. And like, it's kind of fun to talk about the baby's sign when they're still in the womb. And this has happened a couple times now where like the mom will come in and they're like super pregnant. Like they're at a point where they're on the cusp of giving birth. But it'll be like the end of a zodiac season. And like this happened during Capricorn season. At the very end of Capricorn season, I was talking to a mom and yeah, she was like, "Oh, my baby just like won't come out." And I was like, "Well, like as an astrologer, my astrologer mind is like, well, that baby has already chosen its chart in some way and might be waiting for an alignment, you know, that it needs. So it's the end of Capricorn season. The baby doesn't want to come out." I was like, I can't guarantee it, but it might be that this baby really needs to be an Aquarius, and that's why. So I was like, you know, Aquarius season's going to start, whatever, on February 19th, 20th. So just wait and see. Around then, I bet you'll give birth. Literally, she gives birth on the first day of Aquarius season. Same thing is happening with a different pregnant lady right now. She's like about to pop. It's the end of Aries season. And we were both talking and I was like, I bet this baby it wants to be a Taurus. And that's why it's taking a little bit longer. Okay, I say all this because in the most like literal creative project incubating, like this sort of literal pregnancy, you know, like we can't control when the baby wants to come out, when it wants to be birthed. I mean, we can try and we have like a lot of, you know, C-sections and induced labor nowadays. But I mean, even so, like you can't completely control how this baby wants to be born, right? And I just think it's kind of like a cool metaphor to think of our own creative projects, even if we are not with child right now. Like, what if your creative project has a perfect time it wants to be birthed? What if your creative project has a birth chart and your creative project has a certain energy it wants to harness, and that is why it's taken up until now, you know, like this week, to, you know, kind of do its thing, right? Yeah, I'm excited for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I'm excited to see what comes about this week. And it is happening in Taurus, so it's going to be in the Taurus section of your chart. If I have time, I'm wanting to make a YouTube video this week about a little bit more in-depth forecast for the rising signs for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So hopefully I'll get to that. But I really think this week, yeah, is about connecting to our divinity, connecting to what is it to be in the frequency of divine timing. What does it mean to be in the frequency of clarity? And in turn, we can be inspired, right? So I'm kind of excited. I have a good feeling about this week and all the maybe release that we've been doing this literally this whole year. The release has released, and there's something coming this week that is maybe a product of that release and that finally that letting go of control. But my friends, I would love to pull some cards for you all when it comes to maybe this week ahead and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So please comment below any intentions, or if you just need a prayer or some good energy, which church community has good prayer power? And again, I'll say that this month in April, I'm doing first time natal chart readings, 20% off with the code SPRINGFLOWER. So if you've never had a natal chart reading with me and you want to step into my office, please do. And please use that code for a little extra off. Okay. What deck should we use? Let's see. Cool. All right, let's go along with the Rider-Waite-Smith just for now. Katie, card for the week ahead, Knight of Swords. I actually kind of love this. I'm getting this to be like a very motivated Knight of Swords who has a mission and is actually feeling, I'm getting this sense of excitement. And when we feel excited and we feel like we can go on the path of joy and carry that energy of excitement and joy with us, I think it's good to harness it when we're feeling it. So most of the time, the Knight of Swords comes out in a different way that has to do with like rushing and you know, saying things that we didn't mean or whatever. But in this moment, it's truly just coming out as like this frequency of excitement. And the advice is to kind of ride that frequency while you can. Okay? It's like that momentum. Ride the momentum this week. Lauren, you said I would love a anchor card for the conjunction. Totally, totally. So you got Five of Cups. So, you know, I think the... I think that oftentimes grief is not bad or good, right? Like, we tend to interpret it as bad, but, you know, knowing what I know about you, I'm sure that there's actually a real strength and courage that you've harnessed to be in the grief and feel the grief and allowing that to be like good, you know, like we can't release without the grief. And at the same time, I think part of your anchor card is like, now you're learning how to coexist with the grief alongside joy. And I feel like I got this message for you earlier at some point, like, because it's coming back as like something that needs to be reiterated, but like the activities or the hobbies or even the people, or the new people that you're meeting, like right now, letting that joy and that excitement and even that nervousness of like trying new things or whatever, like going to speed dating or like going to like this hiking group or I don't know, like just letting that joy and that excitement, just knowing that that can coexist with grief. And you know this logically, but I think there's some part, maybe parts that are learning to, that this is true, if that makes sense. Laura, you said, I would love a card for everything going on right now. Yeah. Let's see. Laura, Eight of Pentacles. It seems like you're clarifying a lot about what you're good at and what your talents are. And feels like you're clarifying what work makes you actually feel passionate. And even though you're finding that maybe there's this, the part of this new career path that you're exploring, that is, it's still stressful and it still has like BS that you had to deal with, you know, in other career journeys. And at the same time, I feel like there's this sense of autonomy and there's this sense of hope that you have that one day you're going to have like this autonomy. Like that key word, autonomy, feels like it's coming through. Like this sense of, I am gifted, I am talented in this particular sphere. And now I get to show those talents or give those talents to the world. And I get to be like individually motivated by those things. So there's actually, for some reason, this is also coming through right now, Laura, like this sort of sense of like you being the boss, the boss of your own destiny, and that maybe being a growing desire versus taking assignments from someone else. And I think Spirit wants to let you know that that can be possible as well. Global Warman, you said, I would love a card for the week. I've got a lot going on. Totally. Six of Cups. Don't forget about your inner child this week. So even when we get like super busy and like, it feels like a lot is going on, but perhaps in a good way. And I think sometimes when we get busy, our busyness can sometimes foreshadow the voice of our inner child that's like, I want to play, I want to rest, I want a snack. So just making sure that you're listening into those, like, almost like those primal needs that are going to actually keep you going this week. So you don't finish the week totally burnt out, and instead you finish the week feeling like, oh, okay, that was good. Like, I managed my energy fairly well. Corey, you said I love a Jupiter Uranus card. Yeah, let's see. Oh yeah, baby, we got the Fool. You know, the Fool is Uranus in the tarot, and this feels like permission to be like weird, permission to do the go off the beaten path, take the road less traveled, you know, like be the weirdo. If someone's gonna judge you, let them judge you. Who cares? Like, it feels like there's a liberation for you going on this week, Corey, about, you know, embracing a little bit more of your unconventionality, your unconventional visions, and doing what you know is right for you feels really pertinent this week. So I really think this is a great moment. And you're, Corey, are you a Cancer rising too? I think you are, maybe. So it's 11th house of groups and networks. That's where the Jupiter Uranus conjunction is. So pay attention to like what connections make you feel like, you know, that Fool energy. Okay, Aaron, you said, hey Mal, I love a card. I'm a bit confused right now. Totally. 10 of Cups. This kind of reminds me right now of like, what I'm getting a vision of is an artist who like has all their paintings up in like the gallery, but it's the day after the gallery closing or like the final showing night of their collection. And you know, the experience was great and everything, but now they have to take their paintings down and the showing period is over, and it's kind of like a what's next kind of moment, which is kind of scary for artists, I think, especially to have like a what's next moment after the art show, quote unquote. But I think this is a good time for you to rest. And 10 of Cups makes me feel like there's family themes in the works. Like, I don't know if you're like shifting your energy to, I don't know if it's like motherhood or maybe you're remodeling the house, or you know, there's just like there's something like family planning that's coming through too as like a focus. So I think this is permission to just rest into the next cycle, and you're releasing whatever that art show was and just having faith that the next thing will come, you know. Okay. Ellis, you said, what should I focus on for the Uranus-Jupiter conjunction? Oop, you said it first, Ellis. Rest. Two of Swords. I feel like why do we pull this card for you a lot? Maybe because it's like the Libra moon card and you're Libra rising, I think. Or you have some Libra or Libra sun, sorry. You have some Libra, I know, in your chart. But I think what this is actually feeling like to me, it's validation that there's this skill that you're learning, which is to make decisions that are aligned with you. And you're really learning to do that and not get pulled into other people's energy when it comes to what they want. Whether they want you to do this, or they want you to be this, or they have this vision of you and them, and and that has in the past swayed you away from yourself. And now you're in this point where you're like, no, like, before I make a decision, I want to sleep on it. Like, I need to do the Two of Swords thing and like block everybody else off and really meditate on, is this aligned for me? Is this something that I really want? And I think along the lines with the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, it's relevant, this skill that you are learning and have learned. So it's almost like a patting on the back of all that you've learned and also validation to keep exercising that muscle. Oh, you're welcome, Katie. And I'm glad that was spot on, Laura. Allie, you said I'd love a card from Spirit during this heavy Chiron season for me. Yeah, Chiron can be a toughie. So the Lovers makes sense. Makes a lot of sense with Chiron. It's so hard. It's so hard to be a human and to have relationships. Especially the romantic relationships, they really dig into those wounds, right? It's hard. At the same time, Allie, like, don't discount the wisdom of what you've learned about relationships. Don't discount the strength that you've built within the relationship with yourself. And I think with the Lovers, with all of this like mirroring that's been going on with the Chiron transit, like, oh, you mirror my wound, I mirror your wound, trigger, 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 like all of that, with various relationships, whether it's your lover or your mom, all of this mirroring has, I think, given you a sense of yourself in a lot of ways, in this iteration of your life. And Chiron, although very painful, can also give us a very strong sense of who we are. So the key word for Aries is I am. So it might be good to work with that mantra. Like, I am capable. Or just like, I am Allie. I am separate from that person's wounds. I am fully my own self. Like, play around with that mantra this week. That feels relevant. Corey, Libra rising. Okay, so it's an eighth house, Jupiter Uranus conjunction. Yes, so that's like big fool energy for sure. I mean, it's the Jupiter Uranus conjunction in the house of transformation. Like, yeah. Ellis, you said I would love a card for my Pluto square. Ooh, yeah, we love a Pluto square in this house. one of the first midlife crisis transits. I think it's the Pluto square, then the Neptune square, then the Uranus conjunction. Classic. Classic, the death card for the Pluto square. I mean, Pluto in itself is very death card as a planet, you know. Pluto is the god of the underworld. And at the same time, I'm getting this very, like, hopeful vision of the death card, and, like, I'm really attracted to, like, the sun rising in the background of the death card right now. And for you, Elizabeth, like, it feels like there's some ownership of, maybe not ownership, but just, like, this sense of, I have been lost before in my life. And sure, is there a little bit of lostness now? Sure, but at the same time, the wisdom and what I've learned on my journey is that in order to find the new iteration of myself, I need to go try new things. I need to do new things. I need to be in new frequencies. I need to challenge myself with a little bit of newness. And whether that be just like a small new behavior, like I'm going to go for a walk every morning. And I think that is what the death card is. Like, Pluto squares are a time for newness, whether we like it or not. So we might as well try to like it, you know, and try to implement some new things that are going to be uncomfortable, but at the same time, like, that uncomfortability leads us to more clarity, right? Cool, my friends. Thanks for coming along for the ride today at Witch Church. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys, and you guys are great, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm gonna go play pickleball now. If we have an appointment later today, I will see you later today. I might be a little bit sweaty, but we'll see. Okay, my friends. Talk soon. Happy Jupiter-Uranus conjunction.